service. Brother Bob Majeski came up and was talking to me right after the service right down here. And he said something that I'm thinking about tonight. He said, you know, the country, I believe that the country is going to get delivered. I believe we're going to see God put his anointed president back in, Donald J. Trump. I believe that, and we were talking about Cash Patel or somebody like him in the DOJ that will mete out God's justice upon the wickedness that has been in our government and the captivity in our government. He said, I believe that God's going to break through in America. And this is a God Save America campaign we're in, as you can see. He said, I believe it's going to happen. And, you know, why is it going to happen? Because there's something going on in Trump's rallies, and they've been some great rallies, or because of something going on in the legal cases where they've tried to get him and they haven't been able to put him in jail yet. What's the reason? He said, it's because of what God is doing in Scranton Revival Baptist Church. I see the hand of God. Like we had 12 people come forward this morning for salvation right around there, publicly profess faith. Three baptisms, three new members of the church, others ready to get baptized, and God working week after week here, and seeing last week 227 out on Easter, which is a really big day, but 152 out this morning, and God's working, and soul winners going out on Thursday night, soul winners going out on Saturday, seeing God answering prayer and blessing this church. And he said, that's why I believe God is going to do something in America. I don't believe he's going to close it down. Because we're doing something for God. And we're asking God to give us that. And so tonight, in light of our 53rd birthday celebration for this church, 53 years ago, the first Sunday of April, was the first service of Scranton Revival Baptist Church on Olive Street in Scranton. And as you heard, Dr. Charles Ware, our pastor, preached the first message, and I taught the first Sunday school class, and I taught two people, and he preached to two people. Amen. And that happened there. And you know, we were right down the street, just a stone's throw away from where Billy Sunday's tabernacle was. And we started in 71. His tabernacle was there in 1914. 24, 34, 44, 54, 64. And you take seven more years and you have 71 years. It was 71 years from Billy Sunday. No, I'm sorry, not 71 years. 24, 34, 44, 54, 64. That's five. I got to do it. 57 years. 57 years. I know I'm bad on math, Karen. 57 years. 57 years since Billy Sunday. Now, how old is our church?
53.
So about the same amount of time when we started, 57, 53, going back. So it wasn't that long ago. In fact, we used to witness to people, they'd talk about Billy Sunday's meetings. They'd bring it up to us. And I believe it's time for God to do something again. Amen? I believe God is getting ready to do something again. And I'd like to ask you to turn to Psalm 102 and verse 13. And I want to preach from one verse of Psalm 102, verse 13. And I'll read it. You follow in your copy of God's Word. He says, "Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come." You know, he's talking about Zion in Israel, and Israel are God's earthly people, and God has set times to favor Israel. Jonathan Cahn's just written a new book, and it talks about that, the Josiah Manifesto, something like that, about God blessing Israel and also God blessing America. And I'd like to get that book. I believe it's interesting. But God has set times when he will bless nations. He has set times when he'll bless individuals. He has set times when he will bless local New Testament churches. And I believe we're in such a time, the set time for Scranton Revival Baptist Church. You know, Dr. Jack Hiles used to say this. He would say, now is the time. This is the place. And we are the people. I believe on this 53rd anniversary of Scranton Revival Baptist Church that God has kept us alive. God has brought us back to the same Bible that Billy Sunday used. He's brought us back to the old-time religion that was going on back then. He's still sending rainbows, amen. Last I checked, how many have seen a rainbow? He's still sending rainbows. And guess what he's doing? He's still saving souls. And I believe that we are in a season, my friend, a season when we can plant and when we can reap and when we can see God bless and see souls get saved. And God has those set times set up. And that's the first thing I want to say is God has a set time to favor the local New Testament church. Now, I want you to turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and look at verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 1. And notice what it says there. Now, I know this is about prophecy and I could wax eloquent on prophecy, but that's not what my purpose is tonight. I want you to notice verse 1. It says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write to you. You know that the word times there is the word for chronos. The word for seasons is kairos. Now, chronos is talking about a certain date, a certain day, a certain year, a set time on the calendar. And he's talking about the times, set times when God blesses. The day of Pentecost was a set time and God blessed. Jonathan Cahn was talking about, he had a group of believers and they were praying for America. And he felt led to have them blow the shofar, which is the ram's horn, to signal God's blessing. And he said six people stood up and they blew the shofar. And he thought, I would like to have seven people do it, like when the walls of Jericho fell. And we only had six. But he said something amazing. Do you know what happened when he felt led as a pastor to blow the shofar? Which is a trumpet. Do you know what happened? President Donald John Trump was in the White House on the lawn announcing the reversal in the Supreme Court of Roe versus Wade. Whoa, I'm going down here. On the national level. And you know what he said? I wanted to have a seventh trumpet, but the last I checked out, the name of the president is Trump. Trump, the seventh trump, and he was trumpeting out that significant event. God had a set time. That same president, he did something no other president has done, though they gave lip service to it, they didn't do it. He instituted in 2017, the last month of 2017, on a set day, the moving of the embassy from Tel Aviv to the true capital of Israel, Jerusalem. And they did it. By the way, I believe Brother Bob is right. God's not done with America quite yet. God's not done with Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And I'm saying to you that the hope for America is in not the White House necessarily, not in the Capitol, although we thank God for godly people. It's in the church house. It's in churches that are doing a job for God and are seeing certain times of blessing and certain seasons of blessing. I don't know about you, but I have not been too happy with spring up here lately. I was not happy yesterday with the weather up here. I was like, it was cold, it was wet, it was forbidding, and it was just, we were out there visiting, and it didn't stop us. We were still out there, but I thought, I'd like to have some sunshine. Come on, get some sunshine here. And today we got some sunshine, amen. But it is a season called spring. And God has certain seasons when you and I are to serve God, what? In season and out of season. Right. We're to give the gospel in season and out of season. And we're doing that. Our church is doing that. But it says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, right? For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, so you're always to be serving the Lord, in season and out of season. But it's great to know that God has set seasons when the south wind is going to blow, when it's going to be light, when it's going to be blessed, and he's going to give us a time of fruitfulness and a season of fruitfulness, and that is exactly what is happening here. God has a set time to favor the local New Testament church, as he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now turn back to Acts chapter 2. And there was another set time, and we know that this speaks about the Holy Spirit. And I'll read it. It says in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly on that day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And isn't that interesting that they had those tongues of fire upon them? You know what? There are set times for God to light us on fire.
Right.
You know, we've had fires in America. Remember after the COVID, everybody was in a lockdown. And you know when that was? When they were in their houses and locked down in their houses and a plague was happening. Do you know that was Passover time? When that was happening, when Israel was told to go inside and the death angel and the plague was coming upon Egypt, and that was going on. And you know also that there are times when God will set a church on fire, when God will set an individual on fire. And you get set on fire and you forget about yourself. You get outside of yourself and you get involved with winning souls and doing the work of God. And what a blessing that is. And that lights a Christian on fire, and a church that's doing that's on fire. And there's another kind of fire, and it's the fire of the devil. After we had COVID, what happened? We had fires during the Pentecost. COVID was during Passover, and then during Pentecost, guess what? There were fires of riots all over America. And they were lighting America on fire. You know what? That tells me there's two kinds of fire. There's the fire of hell that the devil lights, you know, when people speak in a church and maybe they gossip and they cut people down and they just cut down the work of God. That's not the kind of fire we need. Amen. We need the fire of God where we are giving the gospel to people. Boy, I was exhausted the other day. I've been going all day on Saturday, and Alicia had given me a number of a gal, and I called her up. And this gal, I just gave her the gospel. And she was telling me she'd been going through a lot of stuff. She was living with a guy, and so an atheist, a fiance, and all this. I gave her the gospel, and you know what? She prayed to receive Christ. And she told me, there's no way, Pastor, I can go to church. I can't go to church. There's no way. I work. I take care of nursing people. And I'm going constantly. And she was giving me all her hours. And I was just telling her, you should be in church. You should make time for God. And she said, I just don't have it. You know, I tried every service. No, I couldn't do it. Well, then she called me this morning and she said, well, I just found out I don't have any nurse. I can come. And I'm going to come to your church. I'm going to come right in. And I said, that's great. And then she called back and said, I just want to be honest. My fiancé said he wouldn't come, and so I'm not going to be able to come. And I told her, well, you should come. And I didn't see her. I don't know if she came. I doubt she did this morning. But you know what? I'm so glad that God, the Holy Spirit, has my tongue on fire with the good news of Jesus Christ. And I believe on the day of Pentecost, those people had the right kind of fire. It wasn't strange fire. It was a fire where their tongue was on fire to speak the wonderful works of God. And we need more people that are doing that. Not speaking gossip, not speaking garbage, but speaking for God. And there are set times when God does that in a local church. Now it was no accident that it happened. It followed prayer time. And our church was born in dorm 2. Why? It was born, beloved, out of some young men that were praying. They said, oh, you're speaking in tongues in there. We know you are. And we were speaking English, but you know what? We were on fire. God lit us on fire. God fired us up, and they didn't understand it out there. And Baptist Bible College students, they didn't understand it. And we were underclassmen. We were the young men in the school. And I remember Charlie telling me, he said, Bloom, revival is here. I said, I don't understand what he's talking about. But you know what? He was on fire. He was on fire. And I was hanging on for the ride. And I said, I'm going to hang with this guy. He's on fire. And so he said, you know what? The school is having all these problems and conflicts, and professors are having conflicts, and they're talking about firing a professor and everybody. He said, that's the devil's fire. Charlie said, we need to be on fire. And you know what he did? He went around to the different dorms, and he set up preaching. And he was the preacher. And we were there with him. And we were preaching in the dorm. And I remember we were in dorm 2. We went to dorm 1. And there was a guy by the name of Fred Whitman. He I believe, was the dorm president. I was the dorm president of dorm 2. We had 6-7 different dorms. But anyway, we went there. And I was just a young guy. It was my first year in school. They voted me dorm president. Okay. And so we're going around. And we went to dorm 1. And Charlie's preaching. And Fred Whitman's an upperclassman, respected, but critical of us, critical of our zeal, and a highly respected guy. And you know, the upperclassmen, everybody's asking them, what about these guys? What about this revival going on with these guys, this prayer meeting, these young students? By the way, it needed a revival up at Baptist Bible. And Fred Whitman, when the message got done and Charlie gave the invitation, Fred Whitman, the dorm president, he said, I want to say something. Well, we're going to see what he's going to say, you know. He goes, he hits the table, he said, I've been just about as dead as this table, this block of wood here. He said, these guys have the fire of God upon them. These men are going to do something for God, and I think we should make them the student leaders. And we became the student leaders of the spiritual movement. Charlie Ware became this missionary fellowship overseer. He was the president of that whole thing. I became a North American prayer band leader. And we were respected on campus as leaders for God. And God has a set time to get people on fire. Too many churches have people that are leaders. They have a position in the church, but they're not leading people to Christ. They're not getting answers to prayer. They're not at all on fire for God. I don't want a position. I don't want to have just a you know, to say I'm the big whatever. I want to be on fire for God. I want to have revival. You can hang the positions. Let's have the reality. And the early church, I'm saying, it all came as a result of prayer and our desire for prayer. And then we had a holy boldness to speak the gospel. And we couldn't hold it up there. We used to call it the holy hill. We had to come down into Scranton. And we began to give the gospel in Scranton. And that's when we were asked, hey, why don't you have a church down here? And they asked Charlie Ware. And Charlie said, Boom. He used to call me Boom. He said, Boom, would you go with me? I said, yeah, I'll go with you. And we saw some great things happen. It was the set time for this church to be born. And the Bible says in Acts 4 now, and this happened in Acts 2, Acts 4, 31 and 33. And when they had prayed, notice that, when they had prayed, what were they praying for? The power of the Holy Spirit. I've said this before, Brother Z knows this. You always have in this time of God moving, these set times of God blessing a church, you always have a season of people praying for the power of the Holy Spirit to help them witness. Jesus said, ye shall receive what? Power after what? The Holy Ghost has come upon you. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit with power. And you pray for that. And they prayed and they were filled on Pentecost. But here's Acts 4, and they had prayer, power came, they proclaimed the gospel in boldness, just like we've been doing, amen. We've been proclaiming the gospel. People have been getting saved, people have been getting baptized. And they did that, and then people got saved. So they prayed, power, proclaimed the gospel, people. And then what follows that? Brother Z, what's the next thing? You know,
persecution.
And you know what? They started persecuting us. And Charlie was getting persecuted, and we were getting persecuted. He said, I never got into trouble till I prayed for the power of God and started proclaiming the word of God. Now I'm getting in trouble. He was a good guy. But you know what? The problem is, like Bob Harrington used to say when he was right with God, he said, you're against people cursing and chewing tobacco. You're against that. But you know what? He said, I wish you would do something so I could smell you coming and see you, because you're not doing anything for God. And so we started getting revival, and we started proclaiming the gospel. People started getting saved, you know, and getting right with God. And we experienced some persecution. Listen, if you get on fire for God, you're going to catch it. Amen? I'm saying people around you are going to catch it. You know, you ever had somebody coughing? And they're sick and you get around and then you get sick and you don't like that? But you know what? The same thing is true of somebody on fire. You get too close to them and you might get on fire. I appreciate this guy right here. He's been on fire for God. He's been burning for God. He and Brother Steve going down to Wilkes-Barre there and doing a work of God. Brother Steve said, I'll go with you. I'll help you out. I like that. And I see that old smile in Brother Steve's face. I like that. I see Brother Steve this morning. I'm teaching Sunday school, and he's smiling, and he's coming in, doing something for God. That's what we need, beloved. I'm saying God has a set time and God has a season to favor the New Testament church. And it said that they were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 4. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And by the way, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to speak the word of God. And guess what? People are going to get saved.
Amen.
Yeah, people are going to get baptized.
And I,
that's the kind of revival I want. Amen. I want a revival that gets people saved and gets people, they get baptized and they're part of the church. And it's a movement of God. And it says, notice this, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have problems with churches where there's not power in that pulpit.
Right.
There's not power to get people saved. Thank God for the power of God. And I've had people say, and I don't go around. I'm staying right here in this church and plant myself right here. But people say, I've been to other churches, and there's not going on there what's going on here. You know why? Some people got the fire of God. And that's caught. And that's what we want, beloved. And that is what Brother Bob was talking about when he said, the reason why I have hope for America is because of what God is doing in Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And a lot of people have all these problems, and they're talking about their problems, and they're thinking about their problems. A lot of those problems would be solved if we got out there and got on fire and proclaim the gospel and got involved with people to bring them. And I'm telling you, get outside of yourself, and it's great, and it is renewing to your youth. They that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary, beloved. They'll walk and not faint. I don't see anywhere there for backsliding. I don't see anywhere there for laying down on the job. No, they fly, they run, they walk, but they don't fall back.
Right.
No, why? Because they're waiting on the Lord. That is the victory cycle that you see in the book of Acts. Prayer, power, proclaiming the gospel, people getting saved and baptized and adding to the church, persecution. And now I need more prayer so I can get more power from Almighty God. And I believe that God has a set time to favor the local church. You say, are we seeing the fullness of revival? Perhaps not, but we're seeing the harbingers of revival. We're seeing the foretaste of revival. And you say, what do you want? I want more. And I want more. Amen. They got it in Acts 2 and they wanted it more. And it says, not only did the apostles have great power in preaching, but notice this. He says, and great grace was upon them all.
Right.
You know what great grace is? Grace is the desire and the ability to live the Christian life in the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you can have great grace, you can be low in grace. Amen? I remember hanging around with Charlie Ware, him telling me there was revival. I had great grace upon me. Somewhere along the line, I caught it, I got it, and I was practicing it. And I remember a summer, I went down to Florida, and I was down in Florida, and I spoke at a banquet there in Florida, just stood up and gave a testimony, and a young lady by the name of Kathy Leeser, she saw the great grace in my life. She saw the power of God in my life. She said, that's what I want. That's the kind of man I want. She was there with a good-looking guy, about 6'3", tall, handsome guy, money, and loved the Lord. He still loves the Lord. But I don't know. She saw that, and she said, I want that. And she's part of Scranton Revival Baptist Church. You're here for a reason. This church has a purpose, and I'm saying to you tonight, God has a set time to favor the local church. Look again at Psalm 102, verse 13. He says, "Thou shalt arise," speaking of God, "and have mercy on Zion," speaking of God's house and his people, "for the time to favor her, yea, the set time has come." You know what? I do not want to miss out when God is moving. Amen. I don't want to miss out. Amen. You know, I guess it was Brother Bob in 2017. You shared A.L. Williams, didn't you, with the church in a message that you preached? Brother Bob had a message, and he was mentioning something A.L. Williams, who was a football coach, became a successful entrepreneur of a company, insurance company, and he taught principles, and he gave three principles for success. He said, number one, you must show up. Boy, I say this in school. Don't I say this at Revival Baptist Christian School all the time? I say, you must show up. I said, you kids, when we have church service, you should be here Sunday morning. You should be here Sunday evening. You should be here Wednesday. When we have Revival Seekers prayer meeting, if you're in that prayer meeting, you should show up and be on time. You say, why? Because you don't know when the set time is. You don't know when the Pentecostal blessing is coming. You don't know when God is going to pour out his grace. Charlie Ware said it, and you guys got it. He said, when God is moving, when God is flowing, he said, I want to be on the front row. I want to be right there in the front row when God's working. Well, the only time you can be that way is if you're there when the crowds are there and you're there when there's just two or three there. Because the last I checked, God doesn't show up based upon crowds. Jesus said we're two or three. Listen, you look at Moses, beloved. When Israel sinned, he took the tabernacle and he set it outside the camp. And just Moses went out there and he met with God and he sought the glory of God. And the glory of God came down. And the Bible said he couldn't stay there all the time. He had to leave. And guess who stayed there to make sure it didn't move? Joshua, a young man. You see, God has set times. So you don't want to miss out when God is going to move. You want to be there to see what he's going to do. God has a set time to favor the local church. Number two, God will be glorified in his set time. Let me quote you a verse from 1 Peter 2:12. He says, listen to this. He says, having your conversation, that is your way of life, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Do you know you're being watched? You're being watched. People are watching your attitude. People are watching if you have an attitude of gratitude. People are watching how honest you are in your dealings. People are watching and listening to your words. People are watching to see if you rejoice in difficult times. And they're watching you in this city. And God not only has a set time to favor the local church, God will be glorified in your life in that set time. You know, I like to go up to Kelleher Tire up here. And we get work done up there. You know why I like Kelleher Tire? We put candy up there for the school. And they used to have maybe every 3 weeks, Brother Steve, they would use up a box of candy. Now, every week, they're calling me. And they're saying, hey, Pastor, get over here. These guys are Irish Catholic men. Kelleher's been there for decades. And they kind of look at Baptists like, what is this? But you know what? They represent to me what happened after Billy Sunday had revival. after Billy Sunday had revival, there were all these Protestant and Bible-believing churches, and somehow the Catholic Church moved in and took it over. Took it over. And I'm like, wow. And the devil has moved in and taken this area over. It's in darkness. But I look at that and I say, I have a burden for the set time when God is going to move and a bunch of Catholic middle class people going to get saved. And I keep going back to Kelleher Tire. And I razz those guys and they razz me. I like it. They're just guys, you know. We have a good time. And I've done some witnessing and sharing. But they're watching me. And they're watching you in your family and seeing how you stand for God. And he says, having your conversation, your way of life, honest among the Gentiles, they may speak against you in your family. They may ridicule you for your stand. But you need to know that by your good works, which they shall behold, they're going to glorify God in what? The day of visitation. Now, there's two kinds of visitations. There's when you visit people. And we have that. How many of you have been involved in visitation? Amen. Yeah, that's when you visit people. But there comes a time when God visits people. You say, what's that? That's when they really get saved. You know, who was it? Noah. He's down in Children's Church. And Noah, he comes to our Christian school. And Eli comes to our Christian school. I remember doing bus ministry for Brother Matt over there, and I was knocking on Maria's door, who's their mother, and she said to me, hey, Pastor, she said, my son Eli, he loves God, he carries his Bible to Christians or to public school, but they're persecuting him. She said, I don't like it. And I said, well, perhaps Eli's going to be a preacher someday. And I said, you know what? He should get into Christian school. I said, we could help him with that, get him into Christian school. She said, that'd be great. I gave her the gospel more than once and prayed for Maria and for Melvin. But always she would give me an excuse not to get saved. Easter Sunday, she and Melvin were there. And when I gave the invitation, she came down the aisle and got saved. Now, she wanted to come today. I was there yesterday, and Melvin said, you know what, Pastor? He said, from now on, we're coming every week to your church. Every week. The whole family. I was like, praise God. A set time to bless Easter Sunday. They were here, and God moved. I'm so glad we've kept up with it. And she was going to come today, but she got very sick. She's pregnant, got very sick. Pray for her. But I'm just saying to you, not only does God have a set time to favor your church, but God will be glorified in the midst of that set time. And people, when they get saved, they will remember that you kept the testimony for Christ up. That you didn't quit, that you didn't hang it up. And there are people that will come back to this church, they'll get right with God, and they're watching you. And you need, for their sake, to stay with the stuff and to be blessed. Now, there are two kinds of visitations. It says the day of visitation. In the Bible, there are two kinds. And I'm not talking about the human where we visit people and where God visits now. I'm talking about two visitations. One is the visitation where God sends revival, just like we're talking about, where God gives great grace, where God saves a whole bunch of people. And I believe we're fitting to get see God shake this area. Amen. I believe greater things than Billy Sunday. Brother, I believe, Bob, it's going to be heard about. And I've got that vision. I got the vision to reach from Jerusalem, our Jerusalem, from Moscow to Tunkhannock, from Carbondale to Wilkes-Barre. I believe that. And I'm in the yoke of Christ to do that. And God will be glorified when he does that. When he visits this area. That's one kind of visitation. Do you know what the second kind is? When one of the men tell me what the second kind of visitation is when God moves in a glorious way, when God moves in a mighty way, and when God is glorified by his moving in and visiting a church, a people. Anybody know? I'm going to give you a chance, Luke. What is it?
Revival.
Well, we just said that. That's one. But there's a second kind. Does anybody know what the second kind is? All right, I'll give it to you. Oh, Brother Bob knows. I'm going to go back here. What's that, Bobby? Say it loud.
Judgment.
Did you hear it?
Judgment.
Yes, ma'am. Judgment.
Judgment.
Thank you. I feel like an echo. Is there an echo in here? Judgment. That's great. He's better than Frank LaPaglia. I said this, Brother Joe, he's better. Judgment. Do we need judgment in America? Oh, my, we do. We need people to get saved, but we also need people to judge and get fired. Like when Trump had the office, you're fired. You're fired. Remember that, Brother Bob? You're fine. That's what we need. And I believe we're getting ready for that. I believe we're going to have a visitation of revival, but I believe we're going to have a visitation of judgment. And you look at this DOJ and how they're persecuting their political enemies, just like they're the communists in the old Soviet Union. We need a true justice. Poured out! A visitation, and God has a set time. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. It is coming. Judgment is coming. Revival is coming. I'm telling you, I see it. I'm on the mountaintop, and I've seen the promised land. And I intend to get there with you, because I'm a Joshua. That's what God told me. I'm just saying, there will be a set time to visit the church and set times, and God will be glorified, and he is being glorified in this campaign, beloved. And I'm glad you're here. Show up. Work hard. Pour it out. Leave it all on the field and live right. Don't have a bad testimony, because it would wreck the work. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed.